Welcome to another episode of I'm Chris and Don One Podcast, episode 138. How y'all living? I'm living swell. All right. Today we got a jam-packed show. The first thing I want to talk about is what in the hell on God's loving earth is new media? Can someone explain that to me? What in the hell is new media? All right. So if you've been living under a rock, allow your boy to explain. Draymond Green advocated and advertised and spawned a new birth called new media. All right. So basically, Draymond Green talked about on the Draymond Green show that new media is here to stay and old media is behind us. Who represents new media? Draymond Green, J.J. Barrett. Did I pronounce his name right? Anyway, J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick, Draymond Green, Richard Jefferson. He calls those entities new media. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be other people that's going to be in this circle, this new community called new media. What is old media? To Draymond Green, old media is the old debate shows, the sports talk shows, such as First Take, Undisputed. I think a deep hatred for Skip Bayless. That's going to be considered old media. Anyone that is utilizing the old media format is going to be forever known as old media. Meanwhile, old media has birthed something called new media. It's the little stepchild that didn't get no attention, but now it's a full grown adult, and now it wants to take his stake and take his claim in entertainment. Really, old media, new media, in between media, local news, national news, it's all clammed up as entertainment. Entertainment is to entertain the audience. The more of an audience, the more of a viewership, the more of a listener base your program generates, the more revenue that program makes. The more it generates as far as popularity, as viewership or listenership, the bigger the sponsors. So, Draymond Green, and Kendrick Perkins is in old media. Now, new media, let's talk about new media for a second. New media is here to talk about the game within the game, to talk about strategy, to talk about basketball in the purest form, or just sports in the purest form. The X's and the O's, not so much the Jonathans and the Joes. New media is about the dedication, the sacrifice that a lot of athletes take a pledge on. Not so much of what athletes do on the court, on the field, on the baseball diamond, on the tennis court, than outside those arenas. That's what new media is designed for, is to educate the viewership and the listenership of the purest form of sports. Anything beyond that is not part of new media. Now, J.J. Redick is the same individual that bashed Bob Cousy in his era basically saying that in Bob Cousy's era, he was playing with janitors and plumbers. You know, new media is not designed to insult the athletes. New media is not designed to talk about what goes on outside of the arenas, but what goes in, what goes on inside the arenas. It's not to make a laughing stock of the leagues or the players. It's to allow the voice for, it's allowed a platform for the voiceless. That's what new media is designed. I'm just paraphrasing from what Draymond Green alluded to. Now, he has a battle with Skip Bayless. They're going back and forth. Skip Bayless challenged him to come to Undisputed. He's welcome to come to Undisputed. Draymond Green declined that offer. And he took it even a step further, talking about, well, he's not even welcome on the Draymond Green show. So we'll never see a day where the old media goes up against the new media. Now, there is a video on the Volume YouTube channel, which is the home of the Draymond Green show, where Draymond Green is talking to Stephen A. Smith, as well as a cast of others. And I'm pretty sure, I did get a chance to watch it. I recommend you guys to watch it. I'm going to watch it myself. I'm going to do a thorough, in-depth review about this, about what Stephen A. Smith said. You know, Stephen A. Smith is the perfect representative of old media on a PR, a politically correct standpoint. He's not going to be totally real, and he's going to skirt around different thoughts and opinions of the other members of new media. So this is not going to be an X and O. This is not going to be what's the difference between old media and new media. But I'm here to tell you guys, and I'm going to break the math down. I'm in the lab room. You know the difference between old media and new media? You ever watch the NBC Nightly News or ABC Nightly News or CBS Evening News? You ever watch those channels? You ever watch CNN, HLN? You ever watch those afternoon programs that tell you about what happened in the world today? What's the top story? It's not the powder puff piece. It's not about a guy saving a cat out of the tree. It's about the most serious news, popular news stories that are resonating in social media, that's just resonating in the news world. And 9 times out of 10, it's gonna be a horrific event that happened in some country, like an earthquake, a hurricane, or something like that, or a school shooting, or a mass killing spree, or someone went to court, like the Maxine chick. She got 20 years in prison. It's always the tragic event. It's always the first 10 minutes of the national evening news is dedicated for the best of the worst that happened that particular day. Not the best of the best of the worst. Because that's where everyone comes in. They watch, they listen, they see, and that piece follows another tragic piece, then another tragic piece, then another tragic piece. midway through that evening news, you may get something else such as the weather or current events or entertainment news, maybe some sports bits here and there, and then the news of the weird or some funny news or some news that could just separate you for a little bit about what's really affecting the world as we know it, the powder puff pieces. And as that proceeding moves on from the beginning of that news program to the end of that news program, you start noticing the spikes dipping. You start noticing people are tuning off of the evening news, because the program director, these news networks know what gravitates people to these programs. People want to see, we're in a worldwide highway where there's an accident that's pulled to the side of the road, but there's traffic everywhere. And you're saying to yourself, man, did this wreck affected this standstill? No. The wreck is pulled out to the road. We, on the other hand, are rubbernecking, seeing what's going on the side of the road, thus slowing down the progression and causing massive traffic delays. That's the type of society we live in. We waste our time, effort, and money, and we get our entertainment on the worst that is brought to our attention. Not the best, the worst. And that's just media in general. New media is going to have a hard time withstanding the test of time. Because if you're going to make powder puff pieces be your feature story, and not necessarily talk about what happened outside of the arena or outside the football field, the basketball field, just the arena in general, you're focusing more on the X's and O's and explaining the game within the game and the strategies and why they chose this play over that play. If you're going to utilize those formats in the beginning of your presentation, you're not going to have a show much longer. Yeah, you're going to have a small, minute minority of people who are fans of Draymond Green, who are fans of Richard Jefferson, who are fans of J.J. Redick. But they're not going to watch that whole presentation. Let's just face it and face facts. We as human beings love drama. We love drama more than TNT, and they know drama. That's the type of people we are. We are all gravitated on the worst of us instead of the best of us. And if new media has no place for what happened outside of these arenas, then the new media is not going to have legs or withstand the test of time. I think people will gravitate to these programs if they're presented like in the middle or closer to the end of your biggest programs. But if you're not talking about the Deshaun Watson issue, how he may be suspended indefinitely, if you're not talking about the drama that's going on with Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets, if you're not talking about Kevin Durant and possibly his future, if you're not talking about the Los Angeles Lakers are probably going to have the same team like they had last year, if you're not talking about the worst things or the things that are perceived the worst, and they're not pieces about X's and O's and the strategies. They're more so about the Janes and the Joes, not so much about strategy and the game within the game. And it's a chess move. You know, if you're not talking about those current events, you're not going to have a show. You're not going to have a popularity. You're not going to have a lot of people clamoring to your show. You're not going to have a lot of sponsors wanting to sponsor your show. So if you don't incorporate those things, then what is new media? Jalen Rose once upon a time when he was hired at ESPN, when he was done playing basketball, and that infamous debate between him and Skip Bayless and trying to explain to Skip Bayless why a lot of athletes don't have a lot of respect for Skip Bayless. And I feel like Skip Bayless really doesn't care or have any concerns about athletes having respect for him. But that's another time for another day. And I remember it on First and 10, the early stages, the beginning stages of First Take, how, you know, Jalen Rose pointed out that Skip Bayless likes to name call and calling players outside of their names and making a mockery of their game and of the sport. Always focusing on the negative, that one minute negative instead of the whole positive outcome, and how he's not doing that. He's not going to belittle players or call players outside their names or, you know, focus on the negatives and you know, pretty much he was new media before new media. And then what happened? He tried it that way, noticing that he's not getting any popularity or being featured in other shows. And what Jalen Rose did, he had to incorporate those things that he despised. Not because of the powers that be said either do this or just move on. It's just, if you want to get a name in this business, you're going to have to sometimes, you're going to have to make omelets. You're going to have to make omelets. You're going to have to crack a few eggs. You're going to have to say things that maybe other athletes are not going to agree with you about. You're going to have to make an opinion that maybe not be favorable to that league or to that player. You're going to have to crack a few eggs if you want any type of longevity in this media business. That's how it works. That's exactly how it works. So this new media versus old media is a laughable argument, because we have seen this spawned out through, and new media really doesn't last in the test of time in the grand scheme of things. And then new media just turns into old media till some other young player that wants to get into the media game proclaim and sticks his flag in the media business and say, hey, look, I'm against the old way where Draymond Green and JJ Redick and Richard Jefferson was once part of new media. Now they're endorsing the new media. There's going to be a younger generation that's going to look at Draymond Green and the cast of others and say, I'm sticking a flag in the ground against those media. That's old media. We're the new media. and thus the cycle began. Okay, I got another segment, and I promise you guys, I was going to talk about this last week, and I'm going to talk about it now, and I'm talking about the WNBA, all right? Now, I love everything about the WNBA, giving an opportunity and a chance for female athletes, okay, to have their own league, to have something, all right? But for the past couple of years, the WNBA and its player base have been complaining about the unfair advantages that they have with male-dominating leagues such as the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and they want to be considered equal, have an equal salary and an equal stance towards those other leagues. The WNBA basically wants to jumpstart and have a competitive league, a competitive balance when you're talking about the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA. They want to be just as equal as those other leagues. They just want to automatically jumpstart and just go ahead and start going through that process. What a lot of people that are advocates of the WNBA, the player base, the owners, and the coaches don't understand. The fan base is, people are looking at the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA as of now, but they're not looking at them when they through the beginnings. The NFL wasn't as popular as it is now when it was introduced. The NFL used to have players that would have other jobs. They would play these leagues. They would play these games, but that wasn't their main source of income. They were your plumbers. They were your construction workers. They were your teachers. They were your factory workers. They were in the military. The NFL a lot of older NFL fans called the glory days, when they were not making a lot of money, when they didn't have shoe deals, when they didn't have television deals or sponsorship deals. They were just doing it for the love of the game. They were not paid as equal when you compare them to lawyers and doctors and nurses and teachers, government officials. They were not paid on that same pay scale as those other professions. But as the years, the decades move on, the more it grew in popularity to where it's the most popular sport in America. The same could be true for the National Basketball Association. When it started, people would watch the league as a tape delay. A lot of those players, when they started the NBA, they had to form with another league, the ABA. And even when they, even when those leagues merged, those players were still not making a lot of money. Those players wasn't making real bank until Magic and Dr. J introduced the sport from being tape delayed to now people actually attending these events and watching these events on television. The NBA wasn't marketable until Magic, Irvin Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird with their Converse deal. And then it gravitated into Michael Jordan and Nike, the Jordan brand, and now it's got huge ratings. It's got huge sponsors. It was an uphill climb for the NBA. From tape delay, merging leagues, finally being showcased on live TV, and now it's a multi-billion dollar organization and a popular sport that it transcended around the world. Now you got people in China, you got people in Africa, you got people in Russia, you got people in Kuwait, you got everyone around the globe endorsing basketball. Basketball isn't an American pastime. It doesn't have those roots. It has those roots, but those roots has expanded around the world. And now the NBA is what the NBA is today. In the beginning stages of the NBA, those players were not making a lot of money. Those players were not hugely popular. They would have to work second and third jobs. At that particular time, they was doing it for the love of the game. And now you look at this game as a whole now. And the same could be said for Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has been in American history the longest. More so than the National Football League, more so than the NBA, the ABA, the Negro Leagues. It's been a fabric in American history for quite some time. I say all that to say this: the WNBA, what we're watching is the beginning stages of something that can probably be very, very special and can probably branch on independent by itself, where it doesn't have to collude with the NBA. But as of right now, the WNBA doesn't have the same viewership as those other leagues. The WNBA does not have roots around the world, okay? There are players from around the world. It's starting to become something very special and become something very big. But the WNBA still needs the NBA for its lifeblood. Because without the NBA, the WNBA would have died a long time ago. I'm a huge fan of female soccer. But having a female soccer league without the endorsement or the sponsorship of male soccer, even though female soccer is more popular than male soccer, just like female tennis is more popular than male tennis, but male tennis needs female tennis for its lifeblood. So the WNBA needs the NBA for its lifeblood in order for it to continue to have a history, to continue it to flourish. If it's out on its own, like the USFL and or these other amateur football leagues, it would have died a long time ago. So for all those out there that want the WNBA to be on the same competitive on the same type of level as the National Basketball Association, is completely ludicrous. And it should grow organically just like those other leagues, until finally the WNBA can get out of the shadows of the NBA and it can grow on its own. And that's not hating on the WNBA. That's not wishing for the worst for the WNBA. It's just, look, we have to call it like we see it with the WNBA. That's all I got for today. Guys, tell me what you think. I will see you guys next week. Back at my regular scheduled programming on Wednesdays. Right now, these two episodes I'm doing for Saturday. But we're going to get back into the thick of things on Wednesday. We've just been having a hectic schedule. It's your boy, the host of the most I do not brag or boast. And I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. It's your boy. I'm Chris the Don 1, episode 137. I'll see you when I see you. Deuces.